Isaiah chapter 40. Hope you'll take the time to read the articles in the bulletin this morning. Two excellent articles that sum up what I'm trying to say this morning. I may refer to one of them in a moment. Isaiah chapter 40. The text will be found in Psalm 2. So if you want to be finding that, you can. But we'll be reading from Isaiah 40, preaching from Psalm 2, reading from Isaiah 40 in a moment. Now, if today's religion were not so wicked and so blasphemous, it would be comical. If it weren't so tragic, if the end of it were not so tragic, it would all be very funny. The God, small g, that most are pretending to worship today no more resembles the God of the Bible than a candle does a sun. The gospel that men are supposedly preaching, the so-called gospel, Paul said in Galatians 1, some who preach another gospel, which is not the gospel. But the so-called gospel that they are offering men and women today is so absolutely worthless, it's a wonder that anyone would fall for it. 20th century religion, and it hasn't been just confined to the 20th century, it's been going on for centuries. 20th century religion claims to worship a God, small g, who loves everyone and wants to save everyone. The same God, they say, that made everything, that made the heavens and the earth, they'll give him that much credit. They say the same God that made everything wants you to be happy, wants you to be healthy and wealthy, not to be sick and so forth. Well, I ask one question. One question will show the absurdity of all that. Then why aren't we? If that's what God wants, then why don't we? Why isn't everybody healthy and wealthy? Huh? God loves everyone, wants to save everybody. Why doesn't he? Huh? If God is God, then why doesn't he do something? Huh? Why doesn't anybody ask that? If God's God and everything's in his hands and his control, they'll say that much. They draw near with their lips, the scripture says. That God's in control, they'll say that, then why didn't he do something? Well, they said, but the devil, he's against you. Oh, then there's another God? In other words, the devil is just as powerful as God then. God's trying and the devil's, he's trying, and they're on equal. So the devil's God then, huh? Think I'll start worshiping him. Think I'll start praying to him. Please, Mr. Devil, leave me alone. If he's equal with God, why are we praying to God? Why don't we pray to the devil too, huh? Yeah, but man, they say. Man must decide, you know. He must let go and let God. Oh, wait a minute. Then there's another God here. Man's a God. Then he's as powerful as God. Is that right? So that means God's not God after all, is he? Huh? God's trying, the devil's trying, and it's up to us. If you take that to its logical conclusion, Henry, who does that tell you who the real God is? Us. We cast a deciding vote, they say. Let me ask you something. They talk about the love of God, and I absolutely abhor and detest all this talk about the love of God. They say God loves you and Christ died for you and God wants this, God wants that. If I love my daughter, if I love my wife, if I love my friend, would I stand idly by while things were happening to them? While the enemy, would I just let the enemy have at them? Huh? Would I? If I love my daughter and I want her to be healthy and wealthy, she'd be healthy and wealthy. Count on it. As much as lies within my power. Right? Doesn't that make this all absurd, what they're saying about the God of the Bible? Well, look at Isaiah chapter 40. This is what God says about Himself. As I say it, everybody's just... If it weren't so tragic, it'd be comical, wouldn't it? The things that they're saying about God. They don't get it from the Scriptures. Here's what God says about Himself, okay? Let's hear what He says about Himself. Look at verse 12. He begins describing Himself. Isaiah 40, verse 12. He asks this question, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand?" Now, the ocean, the world... It's two-thirds water. You know all the oceans, the Mediterranean, the Pacific, the Atlantic, the Gulf, and so forth. All these oceans, vast bodies of water that... In God's hand there. Measured it in the palm of His hand. That's what it says there. He meted out heaven with a span. In other words, that's the ocean in the palm of His hand. It says He measured the heavens with one hand. How big am I going to make the heaven? Let's say that big. It's infinite to us with a hand, with His hand. The dust of the earth in a measure. Dust. He calls it dust. How heavy is the earth? The dust of the earth. Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Read on. That's God's infinite power as Creator, isn't it? Verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? This is talking about the infinite understanding of God, the wisdom of God. Knows all. He knows everything. He never learns anything. God's never learned anything. He never forgets anything. He never learns anything. Well, these preachers today say, well, there's a new name written as soon as somebody makes their little two-bit decision down front, you know, and baptized. There's a new name written in heaven. In other words, God learned something He didn't know before. A new name. Oh, God said, oh, that took me by surprise. I wasn't expecting you. No, He never learns anything. God never learns anything. Acts chapter 15, verse 18 says this. Acts 15, 18, if you're taking notes. It says, known unto God are all His works from the beginning. Let's say that. You're not going to turn to it, but Isaiah 46 says the same thing. Declaring the end from the beginning. The things that are not yet done, say My counsel will stand. I'll do what I decided to do in the first place. I'll do it all. Nobody will change it. That's the God of the Bible, Joe Parks. That's the God of the Bible. Well, who did He take counsel with? Who did God consult when He decided to do something? Not the devil. He wasn't around yet. Not man. You know, you got to cast your deciding vote, Henry. Has He ever asked you? This is what God is saying. God is talking sarcastically here. Who did He ask anything? Not man. Look at verse 15. Here describes man. The nations are as a drop of a bucket. They count it as a small dust to the balance. Nations, whole nations of people, like a drop in a bucket to God Almighty. You see that? Verse 17. All nations are before Him are as what? What does your Bible say? God needs you. Well, you're something to God. That says you're nothing. Huh? Nothing. They're counted to Him. If you can get less than nothing, what's that? He just says it's vanity. A big zero. Like Brother Donnie Bell said, all we are is a bunch of zeros. Bunch of zeros. If you put 158 trillion Z and quadrillion megaflops, that's a computer numerical length, megaflops. That's us. Bunch of megaflops. If you put a megaflop quadrillion zeros together, what would you have? Zero. The only thing that gives any value to them is we put a one in front of them, right? God said there's one. There's just one man that ever lived on the planet named Jesus Christ. One person worthy of God's recognition. The rest of them bunch of zeros. And the only way he's going to acknowledge us is if we're behind that man, right? We're with him. Otherwise, we're nothing, right? Nothing. Less than nothing. Vanity. Verse 18, let's read on. God says, well, who are you going to liken me to then? God says, all right, let's hear what you have to say about me. To whom then will you liken God? What likeness will you compare to God? Let's ask 20th century man in all his wisdom. Let's ask him. Well, we've got our cute little bulletin boards around in front of our churches, and they say things like this. You read them. They have little, you know, there's a 100,000 verses of Scripture full of truth, but they won't put those up on their little bulletin boards. They'll put man's clever little sayings, you know. Our little sayings are more clever than God's Word, see. And here's what they say about God. They say, God is like Coke. He's a real thing. Almighty God is like a bottle of Coke. You see what I'm saying? If it weren't so blasphemous, it'd be funny, wouldn't it? If the end were not so tragic, these people going to meet an infinitely holy and all-powerful God thinking he's like a bottle of Coke, if the end were not so tragic, it'd be funny, wouldn't it? But it ain't funny. God says in another place, Psalm 50, thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as yourself. Didn't he say that in Psalm 50? He said, you thought. What do you think? I think God's this way. It doesn't matter what we think. It's all wrong. What he says about himself. Well, they say this. They say God is like Hallmark cards. He cared enough to send the very best, you know. Isn't that cute? That's so cute. You ever hear Peter? You ever heard Paul say that? You ever heard James or John or Sons of Thunder stand up and preach about God being like a greeting card? See, if it weren't so blasphemous. Well, they say, well, God's like hairspray. I've seen this on a church bulletin board. Hairspray, mind you. He'll hold you up all day. An old preacher years ago said, you better be glad I'm not God. See, God's merciful. If it weren't for his mercy, he'd have been done with this mess a long time ago. Long time ago. Well, what do you say? Now, that's the world out there with our clever little bulletin board. What do you say? Huh? Look at verse 22. Or verse 21. Read that. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Yeah, you heard. You just heard it. I've just been reading it to you. Now we're without excuse. Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Yeah, this word's been around a long time. Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? Verse 22. It's he that sits on the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof are as what? What? What about mighty man? Grasshoppers. Turn over to the book of Daniel. Try to find the book of Daniel. It's just about four books over from Isaiah. The book of Daniel. You need to see this. I need to see this again. The book of Daniel, chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. You see, we need to know the God of the Bible. If we don't know the God of the Bible, we're worshiping a God of our imagination, you see. We're worshiping the God of modern America,
And we're going to be in for a frightening awakening when we meet the God of the Bible. If He's God now, if God is God, and if this book is His Word, if He's written a book and it's all about God, it behooves us to know this God, to know what He says about Himself. Otherwise, we've got something that's a figment of our imagination, right? Or otherwise, we're following something everybody else is saying. Correct? And if this is not God's Word, I'm throwing it in the garbage can. I'm going out there and just eat, drink, and be merry. If this is not all of God's Word, if you can call any of it in question, throw it all away. Right? Because who's to say what's right and what's wrong? But now, if God wrote this book and every bit of it's true, and it tells how He is, I better pay attention. Hadn't it? Because John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, to know the true God. There's a lot of them out there worshiping false gods, not the God of the Bible. Has what I've been saying resemble what they're saying about the God today? It shocks some people when they first hear it, don't they? A lie has been told so long on God, God's Word has been so perverted and so twisted over the years that you have a man stand up and merely read the Word of God. It shocks people. That's not the God I've been hearing about. No, it's not, because people aren't reading the Scriptures. Men aren't preaching the Bible. But this is the God of the Bible. This is the God we're going to meet. This is God we must know. It's the only God worth worshiping, Sammy. They talk about the God today who has no hands but your hands. Well, that means I can beat God in an arm wrestling match. He doesn't have any hands. I can beat a no-hand man any day in arm wrestling. Can't you stand? So you're making fun. I'm making fun of the God of this day. You sure better believe that I'm making fun of it. You're going to see in a minute how God's going to make fun of them someday. We'll see it in just a minute from Psalm 2, if I ever get to it. Daniel chapter 4. There's a man named Nebuchadnezzar in this story who was a great king, one of the greatest kings to ever live on this planet. Nebuchadnezzar, mighty powerful king. And it says in verse 30, he was bragging about what all he'd done. Verse 30, he says, Daniel 4, verse 30, the king spake and said, do you look at my great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power for the honor of my majesty? Look what I have done. I am somebody, aren't I? It says, while the word was in his mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. They're going to drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You're going to be like an oxen eating grass. And seven times shall pass over thee until you know. You're going to know, Nebuchadnezzar, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The Most High ruleth. Not some poor Jesus that the people got pictures all over their wall. You know, he's leaning behind a rock, you know, with his heart exposed. It's all broken for you, and a tear running down his eye. The Most High ruleth. The one that John saw over in Revelation 1 that says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. It says his head and his hair were like wool, white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass that burned in a furnace. His voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. John said, when I saw this is Jesus Christ. This is what he looks like now. Revelation 1, read it for yourself. He said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. Isaiah saw the same thing, didn't he? He said, I fell as dead. Job said the same thing. My comeliness melted before me. Daniel saw the same vision of Christ. The Most High. That's who Christ is. Not poor little Jesus. The Most High. Ruleth. And reigneth the Most High Jesus Christ. Look at verses 34 and 35 here in Daniel 4. Look at it. He taught Nebuchadnezzar a lesson, didn't he? At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. Watch it now. Verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what are you doing? You can't do that. He can and He does. That's the God of the Bible. Isn't it? You reading the same Bible I'm reading? This is the God of the Bible. You ever heard anybody say anything like that about God today? That's the God of the Bible. Now turn over to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. And I have this one question to ask. Why? Why? One word. Why? Why do men and women bother believing in this God today? Huh? Who can't do anything for anybody? Why bother? It doesn't make good sense to me. Does you? John, is it? Why bother? A God who wants to save me but can't. Well, I don't need Him. A God that loves me but stands idly by while things I think are evil happen to me. I don't need a God like that. Do you? Why? Why do men pretend to worship a God like that? He can't save or help anybody. Huh? He sits back helplessly and watches all this suffering and violence and misery. Why? Why believe in a God like that? Why bother going to church? Huh? I wouldn't go to church to worship somebody like that. Would you? I wouldn't waste my time. It's my off day. It's not my off day. It's your off day. Why go on your off day to worship a God like that? I wouldn't. Look at verse 1 here in Psalm 2. He says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why? Now, heathen and the people. Now, let me just define what this is talking about here. Heathen. The Jews called anybody who wasn't a Jew heathen. Right? Heathen. And the people were called God's people. The Jews were called God's people. That's what they thought. God's people and the heathen. Okay, that's who that's talking about. Jew and Gentile. That takes in everybody. All people. All right? Jew and Gentile. Gentile and Jew, most everybody is religious. Not just Jews. The heathen, non-Jew. We're Gentiles, you see. We're Gentiles. We're not Jews. Nobody in here is a Jew. Except spiritually. And I'll not go into that. That's another verse of Scripture. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. But at any rate, all of us are Gentiles in here this morning. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. We have his letters and so forth. All right? Everybody's religious, aren't they? You'd be hard to find somebody that doesn't go to church somewhere, somebody that isn't religious somewhere. Religion is all the rage today. It's all the rage in our day. And I have to ask, why are these people doing what they're doing today? You ever asked that? You ever looked at some of this stuff that's going on TV and all over the world today? I have to ask, why? Why are these people? You ever seen this dude on TV? What's his name? Carl something or other. And he's got a special anointing now. He's really special. Everybody else has got this and that. You know, he's got the anointing of laughter. Everybody's being smitten, they say, by the Holy Spirit with laughter. Uncontrollable laughter. And if you'll turn on his program sometime, you'll see people laying all over the floor. I'm serious. It's if it weren't, it boggles your mind. Laying grown men and women
laying all over the floor in front of him. He's stepping over them like dead bodies while he's preaching. Laying there.
And I have to ask, why are these people laying there? Huh? Do you? And they're laughing. Some of them, they're laughing. Why? Why are they laying there? And then you see them. You see all manner of ridiculous things. Man talking, he'll be preaching or talking all of a sudden in an unintelligible voice. He'll be talking in a normal, and all of a sudden he'll be saying, and I have to ask, why did he say that? Don't you? What is he saying there? Why did he do that? Did he just belch and... huh? Why? Somebody need to make fun of this stuff. It's not the Holy Spirit. They're attributing it to the Holy Spirit, Sammy. They're saying the Holy Spirit does this. Ain't nowhere in the Bible it says that. It says there's no language without signification. You want to read it sometime, 1 Corinthians 14. We'll put all that in the dust where it belongs. Paul said don't let anybody speak in a language that's not known. If somebody's going to preach in another language, like one of these Mexican pastors come up here and preach to us, what if he got up and started speaking in Spanish? Habla español, you know. Nobody knows Spanish. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, he'll be like a heathen. A barbarian, he said. Let him speak. Let there be an interpreter, a translator. Let me help go on. Why are these people swaying and swooning? You turn on the TV and you see all these people closing their eyes and doing like this. Why are they doing that? What's all this about? Is this a ball game? They're doing the wave? Is that it? Somebody score a touchdown? I didn't see it. Huh? Why are these people waking up early in the morning, going down at sunrise with their eyes closed? Well, they're sleeping is what they're doing. They got their eyes closed on the side of the hill. And they don't want to be there. They want to be in bed. Why is this crowd of people waking up for sunlight? Looking to the east. Why? Scripture says God's a spirit. Pagan idol worshipers worship the sun when it comes up. There's a man down in Mexico. I went down there. He stood in the middle of one of those old idolatrous temples. Stood out in the middle. He was going things like this, you know. To the sun, you know, just like the old, did everything like that. They're doing the same thing in Christian religion today, aren't they? Doing the same thing. Why? Wish somebody asked that question. People, preacher, what are you doing that for? You know, what's all that mean? Why? Why do the heathen rage? Huh? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? What is all this going on today? Huh? Why do they imagine a vain thing, a God of imagination? Why won't preachers preach the Bible? Huh? Why? Because it'll cost them their jobs. It'll cost them their jobs. You get up and tell nicely Sunday, go to meeting people that are all dressed up that the Bible says they're a worm, they're not going to come back. They're not going to come back. They're not going to pay you big money to come out and sit while you call them a worm. Well, that's what the Bible says. And you better find you a man that calls you, that tells you what the Bible says, whether we like it or not. You see, worms receive mercy. Didn't the Scripture say, "Fear not, thou worm, Jacob"? Huh? Everybody else has cause to fear, but worms get mercy. Huh? Told you that story about the ants in my yard one time, didn't it? The ants that got in my lunch and destroyed my lunch, you know. It's my lunch, and they destroyed my lunch. Found them in my lunch one time. And I took every one of them, and threw them in a trash can and set the trash on fire. Burn them up. Burn them all. Scalded their little bottoms. Why? That was my lunch, and they messed it up. They had no right to it. They were trespassing my property. We've messed up God's world, haven't we? You're going to burn it up. Well, remember me telling you also about one ant? After I got through burning all those ants up, I sat down and got rid of those fellers. And there's one ant that I missed.
crawling around. I reached to get me a match, and he crawled over under a rock. I said, "You stay right there. You stay right there, and I won't bother you. Get out from under that rock, I'll burn you alive. But stay right there." Who's that rock? What does the Scripture say? It said to Moses, when God was going to pass by, God, He's a consuming fire, the Scripture says. It says God's put Him in the cleft of a rock, doesn't it? This said Moses put God in the cleft of the rock. He said, "You can't see me, you'll be consumed. You're flesh, I'm spirit. When I pass by, I'm going to set you in the cleft of the rock. You'll be safe." And Paul preached about that rock being Jesus Christ. All those who are in Christ are safe. Christ can go right up into the presence of God, being God Himself. If we're in Him by faith, we're safe. We're safe. Huh? Well, why do people imagine a God of their imagination, a gospel of their imagination? Here's another question. I'm not getting through this, am I? Why are there so many denominations when everybody's saying the same thing? Huh? Why are there so many denominations and different groups and Methodists and Baptists and Episcopal? They're all saying the same thing. Everybody's saying God loves you, Jesus died for you, and won't you accept Him as your personal Savior? Huh? Counsel together. This is alluding to men in particular. Take counsel together. They do. They get their counsels. They all gather together. And as I've said before, there's a great, what's called an ecumenical movement going on today to get to combine or unite all faiths. Isn't that the way they word it, Terry? Unite all faiths.
Ephesians 4 says there's one faith. Doesn't it?
One faith. If there's any other faith than the one faith, it's false faith, right? It's a lie. Is that right? That's what Scripture said. But they're uniting all faiths into one common ecumenical church union in love. You know, love one another. What they're doing is uniting, verse 2, together
against the Lord.
Well, see, they're not uniting against the Lord. They're worshiping the Lord. Are they worshiping the Lord that I've been talking about this morning? Hmm? Is anybody preaching the God I've been talking about this morning? We get the average person out of the average church sitting on this service this morning. They'd be gnashing their teeth at me. Right? They would be gnashing their teeth at me saying, "That's not my God." Yes, it is. It is your God. It's not the God you've imagined. It's not the God you're in love with and you're worshiping, but it is your God. It's everybody's God. I read it from God's Word, didn't I?
It is your God. But they unite against this God, the God I've been preaching this morning, against the Lord and against His anointed. Anointed. God's chosen people. God's chosen Christ. That's who that's talking about. You can preach, and here I'll give you an example. You can preach any God you want. Any God you like. Any way you want to preach Him, no matter how ridiculous. You can beg for money, and it'll fill your pockets. I mean, you can blatantly, obviously be asking for money, and they'll send it to you. You can be the crook, biggest crook on the planet. And they'll send you money and call God all sorts of ridiculous things. And people will esteem you highly. And they'll fill up your church buildings and fill up your pockets and make you rich. But just stand up and declare God from the Bible and they'll hate your guts. Right? Everybody will hate you. Why? Read on. They say, verse 3, "Let us break their bands asunder." Let's put these people out of business. Cast away their cords from us. Bands and cords now are restraints, aren't they? Bonds, restraints. That's talking about
the reign and the rule of God Almighty. That's what that's talking about. Law and absolute truth. Don't be so dogmatic, preacher. I'm going to be just as dogmatic as God is. Don't be so narrow. Christ said the way is narrow. Don't just say there's one way. Everybody, he's worshiping this way. He's worshiping. They're sincere. Scripture says there's one way. Why do you think they killed Jesus Christ? Because he is saying these very same things. He stood up one day and said, "For what good work do you stone me?" They said, "We're not stoning you for good works. You can feed the masses. You can heal the sick and do all you want to like that.
But just don't say you're God. Don't say you're God.
We'll not have you reign over us, rule over us. We have our free will. We'll not hear of a holy God who punishes and judges. We'll not hear that. We'll hear of a God who loves us. We'll hear of that. We'll not be called sinful, helpless, useless, nothing, vanity. We'll not be called that. Don't call me a nothing. I'll have you know I'm something. Yeah, I know what you are. Yeah, I'm somebody. He's somebody. We're somebody. I'm okay. You're okay. Right? I'm special. God needs me. We have much to offer. Don't call me nothing. I didn't.
God did.
I'm just telling you what God said. Well, they'll say, away with this sovereign grace religion. Away with that. Anything but that. Anything but that. You remember me telling you about that man? My father's been a pastor for 40 years. And nearly 40 years ago, when the Lord established a church there, 40 years ago, there was a man who moved into town, was transferred into town from somewhere else, and he was working, I think, at the steel mill or somewhere. No, insurance man, that's what he was. And some client came in, and he said, I'm from out of town, and I'm looking for some place to go to church. Where do you recommend I go to church? Fellow said this. He actually said this to him. He said, "Well, just about most anywhere you can go." He said, "Go anywhere. They're all but one place." He said, "Don't go up there at that 13th Street where that mayhem fella is. Don't go up there." That's where that man went. He's been there for 40 years. It's exactly where he went. Strength of sin is the law, you see. Don't go there. Well, I bet you, I'd be willing to bet you that the average person in this town, this county, would say the same thing about that. Go anywhere but up there at Central Bank. They believe in action. Well, wait a minute. Is election in the Bible? Yeah, but they preached predestination. Well, is it in the Bible? Yeah, but they preach God is holy and man is sinful and man can't do it. Is that in the Bible? Yeah, but I think I'll go where the Bible's being preached. How about you? Like I said, otherwise, let's just stay home. Why are we messing up our days off? Huh? But if God really spoke, and he wrote a book, and I want to know what he says in it, don't you? I want to know what he says in it. And if he wrote it, I'm going to believe it. God said it, that settles it. Whether anybody believes it or not. Salvation is to believe it. And here's the miraculous part of it. He has to make you believe it. Psalm 110:3 says, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." They'll believe it. There's a time where they go all their lives religious like everybody else, thinking God's this way and God's that way, and never having bothered to look at the Bible, and somebody just quotes something like I've been reading this morning to them, and says, "I don't believe that." Right, Henry Sword? He did it. Joe, you did it. John, you did it. Keep pointing at all of you. You did it, didn't you? I don't believe that. Do you believe it now, Henry? God's people be made willing in the day of his power. They believe what they once hated. They hate what they once loved. They believe God. They dare to believe God. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except to be agreed? I'm not going to walk with God unless we agree. God agree with me? Oh, no. Everything about me is wrong. It's me agreeing with God, you say. It's not a popular opinion either. Count on it, people. Popular opinion is generally always wrong. Right? Ask Noah. Ask Noah. Ask Lot. Popular opinion is generally wrong. Generally wrong. Don't follow a popular opinion. All right? Read on. I got to hurry. Listen, here's God. I said the title of this message was God's Derision. Look at verse 4. It says, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Is that what you're reading? God will laugh. It says, God shall have them in derision. Derision. Be like me walking through my yard and those ants. Be like one of those ants saying, you can't do that. Huh? Well, the ants, I'm walking through my yard. Say I'm cutting my grass. And there's a bunch of ants. And I'm getting ready, and they say, stop! You can't do this! Oh, yeah? Go right on cutting my grass, huh? It's no mind to me, huh? You say, men aren't like that.
No, but he calls them grasshoppers. You know what you're saying, then?
Huh? Grasshopper. And someday, men are going to stand before Almighty God and see him as he is and tremble, and God's going to deride them. That's what he said. Didn't he say that, John? He says God's going to have them in derision. He's going to say,
now what was it you wouldn't let me do? What was it that you said I could not do, but you wouldn't let me? What was that? I forget. Refresh my memory. What I cannot do, God says. I can't do what? Men are going to be confessing God as he is then, aren't they? Oh, you're God. You're God. You do all you want to do. You do. You do.
He's going to say, I'm God, aren't I? Yes. Found it out too late, didn't you? Here's God's displeasure. That's God's derision. Look at verse 5. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. God shall speak in his wrath. Scripture says he spoke once unto the fathers by the prophets. Old Testament. They've disregarded that now, haven't they? That's the old Bible. Don't need to read that. Right? Know what they say? That's the old Bible. You don't need that.
Malachi 3:6 says, God says, I am the Lord. I change not. Same God of the Old Testament, same as the God of the New Testament. Same God. He hadn't changed one bit.
Now they say God spoke once. Hebrews 1 verse 2 says, God spoke in the beginning unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, we're in the last day, spoken unto us by his Son. He sent his Son down here to speak to us. Did men hear him? Huh? When Christ stood and proclaimed, did they hear him? God in human flesh, did they hear him? No. What did they say about him? Kill him. Kill him. He says here he's going to speak again. You know, men everywhere are talking about God spoke to me, God spoke to me. Last night God spoke to me. No, he didn't. That was a bad pizza before you went to bed. That wasn't God speaking to you. Huh? That was indigestion. Take you some Mylanta, it'll go away. That wasn't God. God doesn't speak to me in any other way than this book. It says he's going to speak again out loud. Doesn't it? One more time, Joe. One more time he's going to speak again. Old Brother Scott Richardson, old preacher, faithful preacher of the gospel, he said, everybody everywhere is wanting God to speak. No, they don't either. Because the next time God speaks, it's going to be in wrath. Huh? Once he spoke, yea, twice, but men perceiveth it not. So he's going to speak one more time. Hear ye, hear ye. Here's what he's going to say. He vexed them in his sore displeasure. His displeasure. Here's what he's going to say. Same thing he's been saying from the beginning. Read it, verse 6. I've got a king on a throne. I want you to meet him. Here he is. Here's my king. And split the heavens wide open to reveal his son. Huh? Know what the scripture said? That Christ is going to, as the lightning goes from the east to the west, says Christ is going to appear in the heaven. Like God saying, he's going to set his son for, here's my king and your king. Here's the Lord.
Not the one you made Lord.
The one who's been Lord from all eternity. Here he is. Bow to him. And then you say in Isaiah 45, Terry, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. He's Lord. He's Lord. That's the decree, isn't it? I'll declare the decree. This is Christ speaking. The Lord has said unto me, you're my son. This day have I begotten thee. Read on and I'll quit. Ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. A few of these heathen that I was talking about, Gentiles like you and me, God Almighty reveals His Son to them now. Salvation is for us to see these things now. Salvation is have our eyes open to the God of the Bible now. Everybody's going to have their eyes open then. They're going to see Him as He is then. That that'll be in judgment. Salvation is now to have our eyes open, our ears open to what He's saying in His Word. And have our heart open. I believe that. Yes, I believe that. And then crying to this God for mercy. Lord, I've sinned. Have mercy upon me. Let the blood of Christ wash away my sins. The righteousness of Christ. And charge that to me, Lord. I need that. I need Christ. Help me, Lord. I'm ignorant. Help. That's now. That's salvation. To have that now. You see, everybody's going to be crying that then. Am I right? Said they're going to be crying for the rocks and it's the scripture, rocks and hills to fall on them. Why? Hide them from the face of Him. Who's the Him? If God's all love, huh, Ed? Why would they be crying to be hidden from a God who loves them? Must not be true then, huh?
Romans 8:39 says the love of God's in Christ. Didn't it say that, John Davis?
You have Romans 8, don't you? It says the love of God's in Christ. God loves all those in Christ, those who believe His Son. The wrath of God abides upon the rest. And God's going to set His king, and He's going to say in the same derision, here's my king, here's my king. He reigns.
Now what you going to do with Jesus, huh? That's what preachers are saying, aren't they, to men? What will you do with Jesus? God's going to say the same thing in derision. What are you going to do with Jesus now? Huh?
That's not the question. Never has been, never will.
The question is, what's He going to do with us? Because He's Lord.
That's the Jesus Christ of the Bible. This is my King. He says, every knee will bow. He says, now listen, you be wise. Verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth and the everybody else, serve the Lord with fear. You see that? Fear the Lord. Didn't I say at the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? You rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry. Don't do it on the cheek. You don't kiss the Son. Judas did that, didn't he? Didn't Judas kiss Jesus Christ on the cheek? We're not on equal terms. I kiss my wife on the cheek because we're equal. We're not on equal terms with the Son of God. Huh? It says we're to bow at his feet, kiss his feet in adoration and worship. Like a dog. You know what the word worship means? Look it up sometime. Nearly every time you'll see the word worship in the Scripture, a man or woman come to worship Christ, like the woman caught in the act of adultery worshiped him at his feet. You know what it says? Look it up. It says, like a dog licking his master's hand. That's worship. And they're not on equal terms. Kiss his feet, lest he be angry. And you perish from the way, he said, when his wrath is kindled just a little. Just a little. It won't take much. Blessed are they. He went on to say in the last verse, blessed are they that put their trust in him. Do you believe this one I've been preaching this morning? I'll tell you what, if you do, God revealed him to you. And you can put all your trust. Now, God is to be feared, but you can trust this God that he'll have mercy on you and grace and love you. This God does love. He loves those that fear him. He loves those that love his son. He'll have infinite mercy on those that love his son, those that believe his son. He'll have infinite mercy. He'll receive them into his family, all those who love his son. You can trust him. You can trust him. He'll never cast you out. All that the Father giveth to Christ will come to Christ. He'll in no wise cast them out, no matter how sinful they are. Just trust Christ. Huh? Just trust. Outside of Christ, though, God is a consuming fire. Consuming fire. All right. Let's stand.